I'm a word person. I just love the Word of God. It's to me, it's just our daily bread. I love the Holy Ghost as well, moving the Holy Ghost. But you know what? I love the Word of God. It just it's what you live on. You live on your daily bread. You know what? And when there's no like kind of thing, no bells and whistles. You know what? You always have a foundation to live upon. And I remember right from the start, whenever I got saved, I heard teaching on foundations. Now it's not what I'm teaching on this evening, but I heard teaching on foundations, and I heard just the importance of digging deep, building your life upon the rock of God's word, upon Jesus and his word. And you know what, that has stood by me all of these years, because when you build your life on the word, you know what, you'll have a firm foundation. It doesn't mean storms won't come. Amen. Many know storms come to all of us. We all face life. We all face things in life, challenges in life. But when your life is built on a firm foundation, it's just a matter of time, the storm, you'll outlast it. And you know what? And you'll still be standing. And I've experienced that in my Christian walk on building your life upon the word. Amen. And you know what? What I'll look at the night, I'll look at and just show. There is difficulties in life, you know, because it's life. It's what we face in life. But you know, there is difficulties in life. We face life. And I always tell people, God's not your problem, God's your answer. Amen. I tell people that all the time. Anytime I pray with people, I always tell them, God's not your problem, God is your answer. And it's because the Bible is so clear. It lets us know that we have an enemy. And our enemy is not God. So the Bible tells us that we have an adversary, the devil. We have an enemy, the devil. Amen. And that he goes around seeking whom he may devour. It's not God that devours. It's Satan that devours. And he goes around seeking whom he may devour. But you know what? When you build your life upon the word, he may not devour you. Amen. It doesn't mean to say he won't come. It doesn't mean to say he won't attack. But you know what, when the dust settles, or when the storm's over, you'll still be standing. And that's the importance of building your life on something sure, something that doesn't change, something that doesn't move. Amen. Life, you know, is always trying to change the goalposts. But God's word is like a standard that never changes. You know, the way I was taught it was like this here. If you asked, you know, someone what the distance between here to there, you know, someone might say, you know what, that's 20 foot. Somebody might say it's 16 foot. Somebody might say, no, it's 12 foot. And you could stand arguing. But you know what, then you take out a standard measurement and then you can measure it and the argument's over. Well, let me tell you, the Bible is the standard and everybody has an opinion. But when you take out the word, that's your standard, and you can base your life on a standard, and that standard measurement will never change. And you know what, when I got saved, it's been 30 years ago, it's still saying the same thing 30 years later, and I can base my life on that. That works for everything. I'm able to take that there and then impart it into my family. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's, you know, relationships, sex, you know, anything, you know, what you deal with younger people growing up in their teens. And all. I'm still saying the same thing because the word's the same. Raising kids, still saying the same thing. You know, about everything in life, your money, everything, your time, still saying the same thing. Why? It's a standard measurement. Amen. You can build your life upon it. Amen. But you know what? Satan is the adversary. And the last time I was here, I was talking on, you know, waiting on the Lord. And I'll tie this all together in a second. But the last time I was here, I was talking on waiting on the Lord. And what does that mean? And waiting on the Lord doesn't mean I'm sitting passively waiting for God. Waiting on the Lord means it's like you wait on a table to where you're watching that table. And it's like God's at the table and we're the waiters or the waitresses. And we're waiting on the table so that if God just does that, we're ready to go. Amen. Waiting on the Lord really is where you focus on him, where you look to him, where you draw from him. You are waiting on him. Your life is before him. Amen. And as I was looking at that the last time we were together. But, you know, I just want to look at something off of that this evening, because, you know what, why do we wait on the Lord? You know, there's different things why we wait on God and how that benefits our lives. But one of them is that we wait on the Lord because God is our hope, the Bible tells us. Okay, here's a scripture here, Psalms 39 and verse 7. Psalms 39 and verse 7, it says, my hope is in you. Amen. Or sorry, I'm reading the wrong thing here. Wait a second. Psalms 39 verse 7. Yeah, it says, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Amen. I was reading something underneath it. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Here's why we wait on the Lord, because God is our hope. Okay, and I want to look for a bit this evening. I'm going to look at how God is our hope whenever we face difficult situations, troubles, trials, circumstances, all of those kind of things, okay? Like, it's like, you know, in waiting on the Lord, like for instance, like on the call of God upon your life, you look to God, and God, all you have to do is say that, and here I am, sent me, okay? That's one aspect of waiting on the Lord. But you wait on the Lord in everything. It's a lifestyle of my life is before you, okay? What do you do when you face trouble? What do you do when you face circumstances? What is waiting on the Lord there? It's looking to God as God's your protector. God's your deliverer. I could go anywhere else looking for help, but no, God, I go to you looking for help because I wait on you. I expect you to help me because you're my help. Amen. I expect you to deliver me because you're my deliverer. I expect you to be with me no matter what I go through. Because you never leave me and you never forsake me. Amen. You are for me and you are not against me. In actual fact, you're against whatever is against me. And I look to you as my answer. That's waiting on the Lord. When you face problems, what do you do? When you face circumstances, what do you do? When you face difficulties, what do you do? It's amazing how many times people get their eyes off of God when they face trials. They face circumstances. And yet, it's like God is our deliverer. But if I go here, I'm looking for something else to deliver me. I'm looking for someone else to deliver me or some other situation to deliver me. Instead of looking to God, waiting on the Lord when you face trials and circumstances is to say, God, I come to you because you are my deliverer and I expect you to deliver me in every situation that I face in life because you're my deliverer. That's making him your deliverer. Amen. Waiting on the Lord as you get focused. I'm focused on you. I'm looking to you. It's pulling from God, drawn from God. It's like, I often say to people, it's like, you'll be able to relate this in whatever area it works for you. But you know what? I can remember years ago when I started working with PVC. Years ago, I used to fit PVC for a while. And I never noticed houses, you know, the PVC on it. I never noticed downpipes, drains, all of those kind of things. I never noticed any of those things. I'd just look at a house as a whole. I would look at a house and say, I like that house. You know what I mean? I'd just see it as a whole thing. But when I started working and specializing with something on a house, all I could see was downpipes. All I could see was gutters. Do you know why? Because I'm focused on gutters. My son, he started working in lifestyle. And he works with the footwear. That's like, you know, where he does be most of the time. Now you'll see him behind the till, you'll see him doing different things. But footwear is kind of where he always is. He said to me the other week, he says, Daddy, all I see is people's shoes. He says, I'm looking to go, look at them there, class, look at them there. You know, and all he says, all I see, do you know what, since he started doing it? We had to get him a shoe rack there recently because he's been banned. Yeah, because he's seeing them all the time and he's going, I want them. And when they come in, I want them. You know, my discount will come in handy. I'll get them. Actually, now he came home the other day with shoes for Alexis. Came home the other week with shoes for Donna. I'm waiting for my turn. It hasn't come yet. But do you know what it is? He's focused on it. Let me tell you, whenever we face things, what do we focus on? See, a lot of people focus on the problem. A lot of people focus on other things and situations. Waiting on the Lord is, God, I may be facing this, but you're my answer in it. All you do is think about him. Amen. God, you're my answer. Amen. No matter what I face, you're my answer. That's focusing on the Lord. Just like you zero in on him. Amen. And you know what? One of the people in the Word of God who really went through a lot was David. And yet you see in the Psalms, you see how David waited on the Lord. You can see David in the Psalms, you can see trouble, you can see difficulty, you can see the things that he went through. But you also see David's heart towards God no matter what he faced. Amen. Okay, here's a couple of scriptures here. Let me just look in Psalm 62 for a second here. Psalm 62, look what it says here in verse 1. It says here, truly my soul, look at that, waits upon God. From him comes my what? Salvation. Salvation is talking about deliverance. Amen. God is our deliverer. God is our protector. God is our defender. You know what? David said, truly my soul waits upon God. From him comes my salvation. Amen. Thank God. Like, we're saved as in, like, we've received Jesus as the Lord and Savior for lives. But he's a Savior. He never stops saving. He never stops delivering us from situations. And, like, we're saved as in, like, you know, once you make Jesus the Lord and Savior for your life, you're saved from your sin. But he also saves us from situations all of our lives when we look to him. Look in Psalms 59. It's back to a couple of pages there. Psalms 59 and verse 9. But again, you see there, it's because that's waiting on the Lord. In situations, wait on the Lord. Psalms 59 and verse 9, it says, because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. See out there, I wait on God because of his strength. I look to God. I'm facing something, but I look to God. Why? Because I need his strength right now. He's my defense. He's my protector. He's my defender. Amen. Psalms 25 as well. And Psalms 25 and verse 20 and 21 here, it says, O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait upon thee. Redeem Israel, O Lord, out of all his troubles. Do you know what? The Bible lets us know when you look to God, God will deliver you out of all your troubles. Doesn't mean to say we won't face trouble. But it doesn't mean to say that when you look to God, God will deliver you. Amen. Yeah, that's what he does. It's what he specializes in. It's, you know, it's like, you know, you'd say what someone's good at, what they're skilled at. Let me tell you, God's a deliverer. God's a savior. He specializes in delivering. And it lets us know this several different places. I'll just stay in the Psalms here for a second. But you know what? Trouble is something that we all face in life. You can't avoid it. Every one of us face trouble, but not everybody faces it the same way. But we all face difficulty in life. Some people face trouble and look on to the Lord. Some people face trouble and just, you know, it just overwhelms them. They look other places, or they get discouraged, or they let the heart get knocked out of them. You know what? There are some people when trouble comes, you don't see them until everything, you know, blows right over, and then maybe they're out the other side, but, you know, I need encouragement, and you see them coming back to church. And thank God, God loves people, and God will embrace them and love them and encourage them, but there's a better way of doing it. That is, whenever trouble comes, God, I need you right now. Just like I've always needed you, but God, I need you. I look to you because you are my help. You're my protector. You're my defender. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I run right into it, and I'm going to be safe. Amen. And that's the attitude. It's like in Ireland, you have everywhere you see, you know, castles, you see towers, you see all of these things that were built years ago. What were they? Therefore, they're fortresses. They're places of protection. And let me tell you, God is our defender. God is our pavilion. God is our high tower. God is our defender. And when you face trials, where do you go? Where do you run? You run into the name of the Lord. Amen. You look on to him and you expect God to look after you and defend you and to protect you. You know, it's like when the Vikings would come, you know, you see these towers, and when the Vikings would come, they would climb up into the towers, take the ladder up. And then once they got into the inside of that stronghold, then they were protected. And then what do you do when trouble comes? The Vikings come, then you can peep out the window and go, nah, nah, nah. You know, And that's the attitude, kind of, when the enemy comes against you. Yes, trouble can be coming, but you know what? It's like, I'm in the Lord. God's going to look after me. I'm looking unto Him. He's my deliverer. He's my savior. He's my protector. He's my defender. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm looking unto God. That was the attitude that David had. Trouble, it means to roil the waters, to disturb, to trouble, to muddy the waters. It's like when everything's still, and then here comes those ripples starting. Many of you can relate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've all had it in life. Trouble comes. You know, a good illustration of that to show it like is that at the pool of Bethsaida, where there was peaceful, and then the Bible says that an angel would come down and what? Trouble the water. You know, and then in that situation, someone who, the first one in got healed in that situation. But thank God the healer showed up. Amen. And all he had to do was take up your bed and go. He didn't have to wait for water or anything. The healer was there. But again, that's just an illustration of that. You know what? It also means trouble. Also, it means adversity or adversary, affliction, tribulation, pressure. And, you know, when you think about tribulation and pressure and all of those kind of things, you know, the go-to verses is to go to Mark chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4, it talks about the sower sows the word. And then what happens? Satan comes immediately. That's the enemy, the adversary. Satan comes immediately to steal the word. So, you know, he can't get in the hard ground, he could just take it. Okay. But whenever it came to the stony ground, you know, the word got in, but it didn't get much root, and it was received with joy. Okay? How many people receive the word of God with joy? But then when Satan sees people receiving the word of joy, what he does is he tries to knock the joy out of you. And what does he do? He comes with persecution and affliction. Affliction is trouble. Affliction is pressure. And it's Satan who brings the pressure. But why does he bring the pressure? Because he's afraid of God's word. Because God's word will put you over every single time. That's why it's not us that defeats the devil. The devil's already defeated. It's we enforce God's victory. And all you have to do is hold on to the word. And Satan can't beat the word. So when we put the word in us, see, it's not about us trying, I'm going to get the victory. No, just get the word in you and let the word do its work. Speak the word. Pray the word. Amen. Let the word do the work. The word will defeat him every single time. But what Satan does, he tries to put so much pressure on it that we turn around and say, it doesn't work. Or we get our eyes off of God. We get our eyes on the circumstance. We get discouraged. And, you know, it never works out for me. You know what? Every time I go to do something, pressure comes, circumstance comes, the devil, you know. We get our eyes on the devil. We get our eyes on all of that. And, you know, he's sitting there, happy days. You were excited last week, but you're not excited this week. You see, we can receive the word with joy. But Satan comes immediately. Many have had it. Many have, you've vision, purpose, destiny, and you're ready to go. And then the next thing, the washing machine breaks. And then the next thing, you know, and and it can mount up and mount up and mount up. And it's amazing. You can lose your joy very easy. And Satan's just sitting back laughing. There they go. You were all excited last week. But the weapon worked. Let me tell you, when it blows up in his face is whenever the thing comes against you, you say, praise God, God, you're good. I don't care what it looks like. God, you're good. I'm looking to you. The washing machine will get fixed. You know, everything will get fixed. Everything will get sorted, Lord. I don't know how, Lord, but I don't care. I'm keeping my eyes firmly on you. The word works. Amen. See, what Satan tries to do is to get you into a place where you start saying the word doesn't work. No, the word works every single time. And even when the pressure comes against you, you can look and go, yeah, it's working because Satan's trying to stop it. But many, you know, if you hold on to the word, that word will produce some 30, 60, and 100-fold return. The word will always work. Always. Amen. So Satan does his best to try and stop the word. But that's why we need to keep our focus on God at all times, even whenever trouble comes. Hey, look at Psalms 32 for a second there as well. Verse 6, it says, "For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found, surely in the floods of great waters. They shall not come nigh unto thee. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from what? From trouble." Didn't mean to say trouble won't come, but God will preserve you. "Thou shalt compass me about with songs of" what? "Deliverance." Here's something I've learned. When you face trials, put worship on. And not some dead thing. Not some dead thing, you know, or, you know, miserable and, you know, some Christian songs are rubbish too, like, you know what I mean? I've listened to several of them over the years, and you know what? They'd have you thinking God's your problem. Depressing songs. Songs of deliverance. Songs of how great God is. Songs of His goodness and His mercy and what Jesus has done for us. And you know what? Praise. Get your eyes and keep your eyes on Jesus as well. Sometimes when you can't think, put praise on and sing. You know what I mean? When your head's going, put praise on. It's amazing what praise and worship does. You know what? We fill our home with praise and worship. Doesn't mean to say that I'm not religious where you couldn't listen to something else, okay? But the bulk of what we listen to is praise and worship. Amen. And there's times I do put on all things and go, I can't be bothered listening to that. The words in that song are rubbish. I don't need that at the minute. I need, and I'll just put on worship. But I'm not legalistic that way. I don't believe in putting people into bondage. But you know what would really ministers to my heart is praise and worship. And I surround myself, when I face things, I surround myself with songs of deliverance. Amen. Songs of deliverance, songs that have freedom in it, songs that have victory in it, songs that speak of the greatness of God, how awesome our God is, what God is able to do on our behalf because of His greatness. Because when you face things, you want to talk about how great our God, how awesome our God is, how mighty our God is. Amen. So you surround yourself with those songs. They keep you, they preserve you. As I said, David is a man who God kept over and over and over again. But David was a man who kept his eyes on the Lord. And you can see that all through the Psalms. You can see David, what he went through in the Psalms. You also see it in Samuel and stuff, where it talks about David, his life, and the story of David's life. But I love this about David. The Bible says that David served God in his generation. And David got to the finish. Yeah, the Bible tells us that over in Acts chapter 13. That David got to the finish. He served God in his generation. So I know this. David faced a lot, but God kept delivering him. Amen. David faced tremendous things, but God kept delivering him. How do we know that? He got to the end. He served God in his generation. He fulfilled the course that God had for his life. And that didn't happen by chance. That happened because every time David faced things, he ran to God. He's already looking to God. He's a man of praise. He's a man of worship. He surrounded himself with songs of deliverance. He experienced great victories because he learned how to look to God no matter what he faced. And that didn't mean to say he got it right every time. We all know he got it wrong as well. We know the story of Bathsheba. He got it wrong majorly there. But even whenever Nathan came, David still humbled himself and got back on track and got back to looking unto God. He was like a phony for a long time during that situation. But you know what? When Nathan came and approached him over it, you know, he got back focused on God and went on and did great things. You know, Bathsheba went on to be a great woman of God. You know, you bring God into everything in your life. Even when you blow it, look to God. I'm actually saying, God, you're my deliverer. You're my protector. I've been going through the motions for a while, but Lord, I'm not going through the motions anymore. Lord, I need you. I look to you. Amen. But David learned, you can look at his life, you can see everything that David went through, but he learned how to look on to the Lord. Let me just read these couple of things out quickly just before we finish this evening. But Psalms 27, I love the life story of David. I love just looking at what David faced, what he went through, all of the different things. He faced so many things, and yet he kept going. Faced rejection, even rejection in a sense from his dad, because his dad didn't even think that he could be someone that God could use. He thought it was going to be one of the brothers. The brothers said, "What are you doing?" When he came down to the situation with Goliath. You know, the brothers was, you know what, you're just full of pride down here, just having a nosy. Didn't realize the deliverer that was in him. You know, his brothers didn't think much of him, put him down. David faced a lot. And then Saul, someone who David would have served all of his days, rejected him, had him on the run. No matter what David faced, it seemed to be like there was trouble. But here's the thing, none of it came from God. Because God wasn't his problem, God was his answer. But here's the thing, when he looked to God, God delivered him out of every single thing that he ever went through and got him to the finish. Amen. Even David's own son rejected him. Absalom tried to have him killed to take his position. And what did David do? You know, the Bible tells us what David done. He went and he prayed. They said, you know, about, will we get the ark? Will we take the ark? And David said, no, because, you know what, if God still wants me to be king, we'll be going back to where the ark is. If God doesn't want me to be king, well then, that's God's prerogative. What a humble man. He just looked to God. He went and he prayed. And then the Bible said something amazing. He went to sleep. He went to sleep. No point in me worrying about it. It's like that old testimony of the woman during the war, and everybody else was panicking and you know, getting in the bunker, and she didn't even come to the bunker, and they said, why were you not in the bunker? She says, well, you know what, I prayed and God's looking after me, and you know what, and I went and got a good night's sleep, because there's no point in both of us being awake, because God never sleeps nor slumbers and he's looking after me. That was David's attitude that night. David's attitude was, you know what, there's no point in me sitting here worrying and fretting. I give the whole thing to the Lord. I'm way to sleep. And the Bible says he slept and God sustained him. And God brought him back to that position. Even his own son trying to take him out. And God still sustained him. Amen. See, that's the difference between looking over here and looking on to the Lord. When you face things, amen. Psalms 27, look what it says here. I'll just read this through quickly. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, or my deliverer. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, that means to destroy me. It says, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against thee and against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in his temple. Know what that is? It's waiting on the Lord. Trouble comes, but I look unto God. One thing have I desired, God. Amen. God, you're my desire. I look to you. I want to be around the things of God. I want to be hearing about you. That's waiting on the Lord. Yes, the enemy's coming, but I need God. I love God. I want to worship God. Amen. For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above my enemies. Round about me, therefore, I will offer in the tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, I will sing praises unto the Lord. What an attitude. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. For thou said, seek my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face will I seek. That's waiting on the Lord. Yes, there's enemies. Yes, there's people come against you. But the Lord is my life. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my strength. Amen. The Lord is my pavilion. The Lord is my protector. The Lord is my defender. What an attitude. Mm-hmm. What an absolute attitude. Psalms 34 as well. It says here, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. Would that include trouble? Yeah. Difficulty? Yeah. Fallen TK Maxx? Yeah. Maybe not at the time. But, you know what? We bless the Lord at all times. And just admit, when you said that there, my mom done that up in the town centre a few years ago, just flat on her face. All her bags went everywhere in the middle of the town. She was so embarrassed, so she was. But you know what? We're in life, we face things, we face difficulties. But you know what's like, well, what do I do from here? Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. Sometimes that's hard, sometimes that's a sacrifice of praise. Amen. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt the Lord together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. See, and I bless the Lord. I'm looking unto you, Lord. Doesn't matter what comes, God delivers me from all of my fears. Every single one. God delivers me. Verse 6, it says, this poor man cried unto the Lord. You need God. I'm in a situation. It says, the Lord heard him and saved him out of all. Look at that. All his troubles. Let me tell you, God specializes in delivering out of trouble. Not some, all. How do we know that? David got to the finish. Did he face things? Yeah. Had he enemies? Yeah. For us, we're not fighting flesh and blood, but you know, the enemy can use flesh and blood. But God will deliver us every single time. Verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps about them that fear him. Fear him means you put God first, respect him. Worshipfully respect God. God, you are first in my life. In every situation, you're first. I bless you at all times. I look to you at all times. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Verse 10, it says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Amen. And she prayed that along those lines there this evening. Amen. Those that seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Verse 17, it says, the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Amen. Look in verse 19, and I'll finish off with this. Actually, I'll call one more just verse out off of this. But it says, verse 19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And that's where a lot of people stop. And then they talk about, many are the afflictions of the righteous. It's so hard being a Christian. So there's many of the afflictions of the righteous because we have an enemy that tries to stop us. Like, if you were the devil, who would you try to stop? Just think about it. Who would you try to stop? It's like, if you put it in sports terms, like, I love football, like, but, you know, if there's a danger man on the team, your team talk beforehand is, take him out. You know what I mean? Three on him every time. Give him a hard time. First tackle you get, hit him hard. I remember my dad said, when he played football and he stepped up a level, and my dad said that somebody hit him full whack and let him know you're in the big league now. Well, you get hit to let you know. Let me tell you, if there's a team playing and there's a danger man on the team, you surround him. Don't let him move. Harass him the whole game. That's the tactic. And then we go, I don't know what's going on. Well, do you know what? You see, when you become an effective believer, you have an enemy who tries to stop you, tries to knock a heart out of you, tries to knock the joy out of you. But what do? You look unto the Lord. Amen. Satan, you're not stealing my praise, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm going to surround myself with songs of deliverance. Amen. God, you are a good God. I don't care what it looks like. God, you're good. It's a defiance. And some Christians need a defiance in them. to where you just defy anything that the enemy comes against you with. You know what? It's, as it's often been said, you become like a pit bull terrier. And a pit bull terrier can latch on and still breathe. They don't have to let go to breathe. They can latch on and still breathe. And they can hold on and hold on. That's the way we have to be with the things of God. When you hold on, the enemy comes against you. I'm not letting go. I'm praising God. God's a good God. God's a mighty God. And this word works. Amen. And when the dust settles, have a guess who's still going to be standing. Amen. Not because of how good we are or great we are, because we serve a great God. Amen. The word works, the foundation of the word, it stands. The word prevails, the Bible says. When the enemy comes, the word will prevail. It has a prevailing effect to it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but. Thank God for the buts in the Bible. Amen. But. Keep reading. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Ah, but you don't know how big it is. All. Ah, but you don't know what they said. All. Ah, but you don't understand. This is unique. All. Amen. There's no temptation that we face, that we all can face in life. We all maybe face different things, but there's no unique temptation. It's all common to man. But God always makes a way. Amen. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. And just off that, Psalms 54 and verse 7 says the same thing. It says, for he delivered me out of all trouble. Amen. All trouble. You know, you're still standing here tonight, so that lets me know the devil hasn't won so far. Amen. He hasn't won so far. Many have had some cracker opportunities to give up. Many have messed up some cracker opportunities. A friend of mine, he always says, I've missed out some marvelous, that's how he always uses, some marvelous opportunities to get down. Some marvelous opportunities to be depressed. He says, I've missed out on some marvelous ones. Because we do face life. Amen. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Amen. Where would we be without him? None of us can take the credit. None of us can say, oh, I did this and I did that. I've learned as the years have went on, I faced things where that brought me to my knees, knowing, God, if you don't come through for me right now, I'm finished. Amen. I'm done. God, I need you right now, but I thank you. I always kick into faith, but I thank you, I have you. It may look hopeless, but you specialize in hopeless situations. Amen. You're bigger. You're greater. You're mightier. Amen. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. What does that mean? Make him bigger than anything that you're facing. Just magnify him until God is so big. Amen. Like the wee kid's song, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing that he cannot do. Amen. He was always big. Amen. You know what, as an adult, when you face things, you still need to do that. My God is so big, he's bigger than the washing machine, he's bigger than the dishwasher, he's bigger than the car, he's bigger than the bill. Amen. It's the same attitude, the opposition. He's bigger than what they're saying, he's bigger than anything. Out of them all, he delivers us. Amen. Praise God. Amen.